For our Gospel reading today, we continue to listen to the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel. As Father Connell explained in his homily last Sunday, this is where St. John unpacks his theology of the Mass and the Eucharist. The story you've just listened to picks up shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, as recounted in last week's Gospel reading. The crowd comes to Jesus again, and he challenges them. He challenges them in a way that is reminiscent of his interaction with his first disciples. And for that, we go all the way back to the first chapter of John. In it, Andrew and a nameless disciple take a cue from John the Baptist, who points out, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so Andrew, this nameless disciple, tried to follow Jesus. And as they're trailing him along the road to get to know him and meet him, Jesus turns around and asks them, "What are you looking for?" In today's gospel, Jesus essentially says the same thing, but in a more pointed fashion. He says to the crowd that has followed him, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." He basically is calling them out, saying that the reason you're here is not because you want to learn something or see something spiritual. You're just hungry and you want to be fed. But he goes on to exhort them, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life." In other words, Jesus is asking them, "What are you looking for? Earthly food or heavenly food? Perishable sustenance or eternal nourishment?" We can ask ourselves the same kind of question. What are we looking for when we come to Mass? Based on the readings, we can say that the Mass offers us this total transformation in the life of Jesus. Total transformation in the life of Jesus Christ. Is that what we're looking for? Is that what we expect? Or do we sell ourselves short and seek for something lower? Some examples. Maybe we think of Mass in terms of recreation, or we just treat Mass as a kind of moral recovery program. Maybe we treat Mass, or our Mass experience rather, as something about being able to get spiritual highs. Or maybe there's something else. But I'd like to focus on these three things and show that while there's value here in those elements, God desires more for us. He offers more to us. First, let's talk about recreation. Honestly, I doubt that anyone says that I demand to be entertained when I come to Mass. I think we could be able to put that aside. But let's face it, when it comes to Sunday Mass, it can be hard for us to not think of it in recreational terms, precisely because Sunday is part of the weekend, and the weekend is our prime time for many of us to recreate, to relax, to have fun, to do our own thing. And some of us may be here after grudgingly giving up an hour or more of potential recreational time. Out of duty we come. Or maybe we've fit it in, to a schedule that has otherwise been defined by recreational activities. And if you find yourself in this boat, don't be ashamed. It's good that you're here, and I'm glad that you're here. I would simply suggest that God offers so much more than an alternative to recreation. And consider this. Mass is not about recreation, but it is about recreation, a new creation. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul exhorts us to put away the old self, corrupted by evil desires, and to put on the new self, created in God's way. We have these two contrasting pairs of concepts relating to an old self and a new self. St. Paul talks about how this old self is corrupted. It was once good, now it's been deformed. But then he talks about a new self. And how is this new self new? Is it just kind of like our old self remodeled, brought back to some former status quo, or kind of brushed up and polished a bit? No. He says created, created in God's way, which evokes for us the idea of the newness of the creation of the cosmos from the beginning of time. That kind of newness, that recreation, is something that God offers to us whenever we come to Him in the Mass. Second, let's consider this idea of a recovery program, a moral recovery program. Maybe some of us have internalized the sense that we ought to go to Mass because it's the right thing to do, even though we may not be able to articulate why exactly. Some of us may have even perceived that going to Mass regularly helps us become better people. And that's good, right? And I hope and pray that in our participation in Mass that those fruits may flourish of living an upright and virtuous life. But how does that work? Because there is something pernicious in our current culture when it comes to thinking about faith or organized religion. In three words, it is called moral therapeutic deism. Kind of fancy words here. But really, it essentially treats religion not as a relationship with God, but as a kind of self-help therapy or self-betterment program with religious or Christian trappings. It focuses solely on the externals of doing good things to be seen, and with a notion that God is not personally relating to us, but simply assists us from afar. That's where the deism comes in. The idea of God as the God of the clock of the universe that has made the universe and set it on its way without any relationship with us. That is not the case. In the Mass, we encounter God who calls us to holiness, but transforms us from the inside out. To borrow a line from one of the speakers at last weekend's Steubenville Northwest Conference, Christianity is not a reform school. It is a total transformation into glory. Because sometimes we think about organized religion as simply following rules, as checking off boxes to fulfill duties. But it is more than that. It is not being prim and proper and having this ideal etiquette, even though that is partly involved. Ultimately, it's about being transformed from the inside out, from a fundamental encounter with Jesus Christ. And lastly, we can consider the idea of a spiritual high or a mountaintop experience. Let's face it, these are good things. They are indications of God, of His love for us, of His relationship with us, and for many of us are His way to confirm that we're going in the right direction, to encourage us to go further. But there are some pitfalls here. Either we can think of spiritual experiences as the reason we go to Mass, or we think of spiritual highs as the metric that determines whether or not we are having a good spiritual life or a bad one. The danger is that if those feelings run dry, we may despair of being able to go to Mass. We may think, well, it used to work. I used to feel it, but now I don't. And so what's the point of going to Mass? Or we could say, it used to be good, but now it's not good. I don't feel God's presence. Does that mean that I'm doing it wrong? Does it mean that God does not love me? Those are the mistakes we can make if we rely too much on seeking spiritual highs. An important thing to keep in mind is a key distinction in the spiritual life. That the spiritual highs, the mountaintop experiences, are one thing, and they are discrete and distinct from God Himself. They are not the same thing, even though, through God's grace, these experiences may reveal the presence of God. And in the Christian life, what is our goal? What is our desire? Our desire is union with the God who made us, not with happy feelings. And that can be a hard lesson to learn. But in the context of the Mass, in the liturgy, through word, through sacrament, through the assembly of the people, through the ministers of God, God makes Himself present, and we are able to be truly united with Him, even if we cannot feel it. And that union with God is transformative. It is new. It is unexpected. We are approaching and participating in the unimaginable love of God. And because it just goes beyond our mental categories, we have to give them up. Very much like how the Israelites in the desert had to give up their prior expectations of God. They see this substance on the ground, they're just baffled. What is it? It is the bread that God has given you to eat. The Jews in our gospel today are simply looking for physical food, but Jesus calls them to something greater. We truly need fresh wineskins to receive the new wine of God's love. And how do we do that? It is through faith. As Jesus says in our gospel today, the work of God, the work that allows us to receive this bread of life, is simply to believe in the one whom God has sent, to believe in Jesus Christ. And that is an interesting thing, because even though for Catholics, John chapter 6 is very much about the Eucharist, Jesus isn't quite talking about eating or receiving the Eucharist quite yet. That will come in a few verses, in a couple Sundays for us as we continue with the readings. And maybe for those of us here who find themselves unable to receive communion, maybe because they're not prepared, maybe they find themselves in a state of sin or some lack of reconciliation, this can be some consolation. That the first step, before we're even able to come to receive the fullness of Jesus in communion, is faith, is to believe in Jesus, to believe in his existence, to believe in his words, in his teaching, to believe in his presence when he comes truly and totally, body, blood, soul, and divinity under the disguise of bread and wine. And in a few moments, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, one gentleman will receive sacraments today as he becomes Catholic today, Daryl. And it just occurred to me as I was preaching that kind of providentially, you chose John the Baptist as your patron for confirmation. And I was not thinking about that when I wrote this homily and mentioned how the first disciples of Jesus took a cue from John the Baptist to learn more about him. And so, Daryl, as you approach the altar today to receive confirmation and Eucharist, I encourage you to consider the touchstones of God's providence, those John the Baptist moments, as it were, that pointed out to you the way of faith, the way to encounter Jesus, so that you may receive his Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation and receive him into yourself in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And for all of us, as Daryl makes this profound step in his journey of faith, may we also be renewed in our faith as well, as we believe in Jesus and seek the total transformation of our whole lives and souls that he offers to us in the Mass, in our entire Christian life.